Papa. That was the scripture. The victory is ours and the battle is the Lord's. Hosanna, Hosanna. No enemy can stand when his praise goes forth. Pass a song, kom. Gee ons dit 'n bietjie. The victory is ours and the battle is the Lord's. Hosanna, Hosanna. No enemy can stand when his praise goes forth. Hosanna, Hosanna. The victory is ours and the battle is the Lord's.
Hosanna, Hosanna.
No enemy can stand when his praise goes forth.
Hosanna, Hosanna.
Once more. The victory is ours and the battle is the Lord's. Come on. No enemy can stand when his praise goes forth.
Hey. Hosanna, Hosanna.
Hey. Hosanna, Hosanna.
Hey. Hosanna, Hosanna.
So jealous of Tiens when he has his sermon notes. It's like a little visiting business card. He's got all his notes. And by the looks of this, I'm going to keep you busy for the whole day. Now we're continuing our series about growth. And the word growth means change. Growth is the only sign that there is life. Everybody wants to grow. Physically, young people, children want to grow up, be strong, be tall. And if I look at the young boys, I see every one of them on their walls. They've got a poster of some muscle palace with bulging six packs, and the girls might have a poster with a beautiful actress, all wanting to become like. All growth is not very pleasant. All of us have gone through puberty, and especially now I'm talking about the men's perspective. I don't not know so much about the girls, but you know, young boys, the voice changing from bass to tenor, and people laughing at us, and all of a sudden growing hair where they never used to be hair. And of course, all of a sudden you realize your hands are much bigger than they should be, your feet are bigger, your ears and your nose and those pesky pimples, eh? So it's not always very pleasant. But you know, spiritually, for us, it is exactly the same. Even Jesus himself grew in grace and in the power of God. We should never allow ourselves to become complacent and just satisfied with the spiritual level that we are at, resulting in spiritual stagnation. Think of yourselves about 2-3 years ago. Think carefully. Are you still at the same spiritual level than what you are today? Your relationship with Jesus, do you know more about him? Or have you grown in intimacy? In love for the Lord. Your prayer life, that's still the old same, give me prayers? Or has it changed into a beautiful conversation with the lover of your soul? What about the gifts of the Holy Spirit? Do you really desire them? excel in the best gifts? Or are we where we initially started when they laid hands on us? Your leadership responsibilities, are you still trying to sidestep them? Or are you taking up your role as a leader in the body of Christ? My brothers and sisters, as we also sang here this morning, our ultimate goal with spiritual growth is to ultimately become more and more like Jesus. He has promised us in His Word that when we shall see Him, we will be like Him. Now, personally, I don't know about you, personally, I prefer to have only a few minor changes made to me just before I meet Jesus on His return, rather than have a last minute total makeover, because I think that will be quite painful. And in His great love and mercy and grace, He has given us everything to grow in Christ-likeness, to resemble Jesus more and more. And Christ-likeness is, after all, the only fruit that will last through eternity. Sorry. God has a purpose for every life. And He has saved us by sacrificing His only Son for one very specific purpose. One of my old favorite scriptures, Galatians 1, verse 15 and 16. But when it pleased God to reveal His Son in me, to reveal His image in me, to reveal Christ's character, His personality, and His nature in me. I don't believe there's anything on earth that gives God our Father so much joy and pleasure than to see the image of His Son becoming visible in His children. Why? For what reason? So that we may proclaim the gospel to the heathen. For no other reason. You know, God has a few self-imposed restrictions. And one of them is preaching the gospel. He could do such a much better job than any one of us if God preached the gospel. Even angels are not allowed to preach the gospel. That's the prerogative of man. That is why God has saved us, so that we could preach the gospel to the heathen. Because God doesn't want anyone to perish, but that everyone would have everlasting life. Now I want to show you Romans 12, from verse 1 to 8. And so, dear brothers and sisters, but just before that, the caption in the Bible, the heading of this chapter, is a living sacrifice to God. But the Afrikaans has got something beautiful. They say, "Toe wyding aan God, ootmoed en getrouheid in die gebruik van sy gawes." Dedication to God, humility, and faithfulness in the use of His gifts. Let us read there. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God, because all He has done for you, let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind you will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship Him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of the world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Because of the privilege and authority God has given me, I give each of you this warning. Don't think you are better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourself, measuring yourselves by the faith God has given us. Just as our bodies have many parts, each part has a special function. So it is with God, with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other. Verse 6. In His grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership abilities, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have to, and if you have a gift of showing kindness to others, do it gladly. Then verse 13, when God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. There are three different kinds or types of gifts. First, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. You know the spiritual gifts, the nine gifts. Then there's the gifts of Jesus, the fivefold ministries. Then there are the gifts of God, acts of service, our good works. I'll just shortly recap the first two. 1 Corinthians 12, the spiritual gifts. How do I obtain them? The only way I can receive these gifts is that I must be born again from above by the Holy Spirit. John 3:3 says, Jesus said to Nicodemus, I tell you the truth, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. What do you mean? Explained Nicodemus. How can an old man go back into his mother's womb and be born again? Jesus replied, I assure you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit. Humans can reproduce only human life, but the Holy Spirit gives birth to spiritual life, so don't be surprised when I say you must be born again. We must be born again because we have been born into this sinful world. And through the new spiritual birth, our spiritual nature is cut off. And we are delivered from sin and other sinful nature. We must be born again. Then you must be baptized in water. And then afterwards, you will be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And you will receive the gifts. Only then will the gifts of God start operating through your life. We have no control over these gifts, although I can resist those gifts. These gifts are all supernatural gifts. Ephesians 2, at least Ephesians 4, tells us about the gifts of Jesus that he gave to his body. They are known as the fivefold ministries. These gifts are for leadership of the church and is a full-time ministry. The task or purpose of these ministries are to give direction to the body of Christ. The apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And their purpose is to equip God's people to do His work and build up the church, the body of Christ. And this will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Then we will no longer be immature like children who won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies, so clever they sound like the truth. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of a body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly, as each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow. My brothers and sisters, if you are not operating in your gift, you are robbing me of spiritual growth. The same applies to me. If I do not operate in the gifts of God, I'm robbing you of your spiritual growth, so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. This, however, also condition coupled or attached to the gifts of Christ. Christ must be the king of my heart. We can never operate in these fivefold ministries before we have invited Christ into our lives as our Lord and Savior. But then there's the third type of gifts. Psalm 139 says, "You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, and I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born." My brothers and sisters, we were fearfully and wonderfully made. Every human being, saved or unsaved, has received, has been wonderfully and fearfully made. And every human being, whether they're saved or unsaved, since the day that they were born, have received these gifts. They are in them. We are born with them. There's absolutely no requirement required from us, something we have to do to acquire these gifts. They are all by grace. Romans 12:6 lists these grace. In His grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, and this is to admonish with a purpose to build up, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership abilities, take the responsibility seriously. If you have a gift for showing kindness, do it gladly. 1 Peter 4:7-10. It says, "The end of the world is coming soon. Therefore be earnest and disciplined in your prayers. Most important of all, continue to show deep love for each other, for love covers a multitude of sin. Cheerfully share your home with those who need a meal or a place to stay." God has given each of you a gift from His great variety of spiritual gifts. Each of us have received a gift from God's great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. Do you have the gift of speaking? Now, I know all women have received the gift of talking. Then speak as though God Himself were speaking through you. Do you have the gift of helping others? Do it with all the strength and energy that God supplies. Then everything you do will bring glory to God through Jesus Christ. This morning, the scriptures are just talking. It's not out of ourselves. The scriptures are just talking. Matthew 25:14, the parable of the three servants. And it's so long. Again, the kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by the story of a man going on a long trip. He called together his servants and entrusted his money to them while he was gone. He gave 5 bags of silver. Now, the Greek says it's talent. A talent is about 34 kilos of silver. And the servant with 2 bags of silver also went to work and earned 2 more. But the servant who received the 1 bag of silver dug a hole in the ground and hid the master's money. After a long time, the master returned from his trip and called from them to give an account of how they had used his money. The servant to whom he had entrusted the 5 bags of silver came forward with 5 more and said, Master, you gave me 5 bags of silver to invest, and I've earned 5 more. The master was full of praise. Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount, so now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together. The same happened to the servant who had received 2 bags, had earned 2 more. The master says, well done, my good and faithful servant. Then the servant with the 1 bag of silver came and said, Master, I knew you were a harsh man, harvesting crops you didn't plant and gathering crops you didn't cultivate. I was afraid I would lose your money, so I hid it in the earth. Look, here's your money back. But the master replied, you wicked and lazy servant. Then he ordered, take the money from the servant and give it to the one with the 10 bags of silver. To those who use well what they are given, even more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who do nothing with the gifts that God has entrusted to them, even what little they have will be taken away. Another translation says, but from those who think they have, it will be taken their way. Now throw this useless servant into outer darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. To those who use well what they are given, even more will be given, and they will have an abundance. How often do we complain, God is not using me? What am I doing? This Christian life has become so boring. Yet we have received many of these gifts from God. Each one of us will one day have to give an account of what we did with that which God had entrusted to us by grace. We will definitely not hear, well done, good and faithful servant, because we were faithful in attending church services faithfully, as necessary as they are for our spiritual well-being. We will not hear, well done, good and faithful servants, because we were tithing regularly, as necessary as that may be, or attending cell meetings regularly and participating in all church programs. But what did I do with God's gifts? Have I buried them? My brothers and sisters, then it's time that we dig up those gifts and invest them in living stones, the body of Christ. What have I done with all the knowledge I've accumulated while listening to sermons and teachings and conferences? Did I ever put any of that knowledge into practice? And have I doubled what I have received from God? What about the gifts of the Holy Spirit? What have I done with the power that I've received to be a witness in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, even up to the uttermost parts of the earth? But you know what? We have reduced that power just to speaking in tongues. Think about our foundation series, F1, F5, and the School of the Supernatural, the SOS. Was it just another program or course to attend so that I will be able to become a member of Shofar or accumulate more knowledge? After these courses, how much of and how often have we applied it out there in the world? School of Supernatural, we applied it to one another while we were attending the course. But it was not meant for that. It was meant to be applied out there in the world. What have we done with that? Knowledge is good and is necessary, but knowledge will never initiate the process of growth. Doing initiates the process of growth. The more we know, the more we will be held accountable for. My brothers and sisters, even the world knows this. Have you seen this Sanlam advert? It says, it's not what you have, it's what you do with it. It's no use thinking you've got the gifts of the Holy Spirit, but we never use them. Just look again at God's grace and mercy. He does not expect from you more than what you can handle. What a wonderful God we serve. He knows us. He knows who can handle 5 talents and who can handle only 1 talent. But if you are faithful with your 1 talent and you double it, your reward will be exactly the same as the guy who ended up with 10 talents. So don't even try and compare yourself with somebody else who have maybe received more talents than what you have. The same principle applies to making disciples. Everybody looks at Billy Graham, Randall Bonker, with the thousands or the millions that they reach. God has called us one on one. One at a time. And then we will win the world for Christ. What about the gifts of God? Serving, teaching, encouragement, giving, leadership, kindness, gift of speaking, helping, hospitality. May I add the talent of music, singing, and so many more. What about when Jesus said, I was hungry, I was in prison, I was sick? Have you ever been in a conversation where people said, man, that family are such wonderful people. They are so friendly. They are hospitable. They are so kind, and they open hands. They're always giving. And they are not even Christians. They live better lives than many a Christian I know. Is that true? Of course it's true. Because they are flowing in the gifts of God. We, all of us, have some of those gifts. But do we use them? Or do we neglect them as we neglect the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the gifts of Jesus? Yet we still expect to grow spiritually. All these gifts were given to us to grow to spiritual maturity. The world, our valley, and the body of Christ need us to operate in our giftings. 1 Peter 2 verse 5 says, and you are living stones that God is building into his spiritual temple. What's more, you are a holy priesthood, for you are a chosen people. You are royal priests, a holy nation, God's very own possession. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God. How? By using God's gifts. Those of you who are builders, stones and bricks, which lie in a heap, are of no use unless they are built into the temple of God. They lend support to one, to the other bricks. You lend support to the bricks next to you, and to the bricks above you, the same way as you are supported from the bricks under you. Our works will be tested when we appear before the judgment seat of Christ. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 11 to 15. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one we already have, Jesus Christ. Anyone who builds on that foundation may use a variety of materials, gold, silver, jewels, wood, hay, or straw. But on that day of judgment, fire will reveal what kind of work each builder has done. The fire will show if a person's work has any value. If the work survives, that builder will receive reward. But if the work is burned up, the builder will suffer great loss. The builder will be saved, but like someone barely escaping through a wall of flames. We will be amazed, my brother and sister, at what we have received by grace without any works. We will enter into the dwelling that He has prepared for us. Although we all inherit eternal life, we will not all occupy the same position in heaven. Your position of responsibility will be determined by the good works you did on earth. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 10 says, "For we must all stand before Christ to be judged. We will each receive whatever we deserve for the good or evil we have done in the earthly body." I repeat, 1 Corinthians 3 verse 11 to 15, "Everyone's work will be tested by fire. However, our reward will not depend on the amount of talents we had, but what we did. Did we do it with pure motives? Our rewards don't depend on the type of ministry we have, whether I'm an evangelist, an apostle, or the doorkeeper, or whatever. It does not matter whether we are the eyes, the ears, or the feet, but whether we are faithful in that ministry with pure motives. If my motive is that I do good for my name's sake, then I have received my reward on earth." Now, in closing, how do I recognize which of these gifts, grace of God, are in operation in my life? That's the million-dollar question. I cannot tell you. That is something that you will have to hear from God on your knees. What I can suggest is, ask yourself, go and sit down, take a pen and paper, and make a true, honest evaluation of your life. Ask yourself, have I ever used the following gifts? Write down in which of these gifts you excel. Also, what do I like doing best? Receiving guests, that is hospitality. Teaching, there are so many clever, brilliant professors and whatnot. They've got all the knowledge, but they cannot convey knowledge. Then there's somebody here, simple people like you and I, who are not educated, but we have the gift of teaching others so that they can understand and apply it to their lives. Encouraging people, giving, making music, serving. Now, I'm not talking about serving only at the church meetings, like making coffee and tea and being at the door, but out there in the world mostly, so that people may see your good works and so glorify your Father who is in heaven. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 7, 8. "Now you have every spiritual gift you need as you eagerly wait for the return of our Lord Jesus." My brothers and sisters, the Bible is very clear. A fig tree that bears no fruit must be chopped out. A vine with many wild shoots, beautiful green, but if they don't bear fruit, they must be pruned. Somebody once asked Rainer Bonke, he said, "To what do you attribute your success in your life and in your ministry?" He says, "Every year, once a year, I go and sit down and I evaluate my life. I take stock of my life." He says, "If there are any green shoots that look beautiful, wonderful things that we did, programs we did, but there was no fruit, cut them off, cancel them, never to be repeated again, because it does not help us at all. Brothers and sisters, maybe there are many things in your life that you do just for the sake of keeping busy in the kingdom of God. If they bear no fruit, it won't help you in your spiritual growth. We can be such a power in this valley. We can be such a power in this valley. It is not what we know, but it is how we apply the knowledge that we have. May God help each and every one of us so that we will grow more and more into the image of our Lord Jesus Christ. Father God, thank you for every brother and sister of mine. We are here, Lord, because we love you, and because we want to be effective in the kingdom of God. We don't want just to be listeners or bystanders. We want to be at the cutting edge where the Spirit of God is working. You've given us everything, Lord. You've given us leadership's abilities, and you've given us leaders. You've given us the gifts of the Holy Spirit to empower us to do your work. And Lord, and then in your mercy and your grace, we were born with all these other wonderful abilities that you've entrusted to us. And Lord, then sometimes we are ashamed. We look at people who do not even know you, but who live such beautiful lives, productive lives, that touches so many people in this village and in the world. We should be the ones who touch lives. And Father, I pray that we will grow more and more into the image of Christ, so that your name will be glorified. In Jesus' name. Amen.